Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Maybe you remember that some time ago we did a five-part series on the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty and in Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit. Well, today, let's just do one whole program on the Apostles' Creed because we need to. I'm not making this up. A liberal Lutheran church here in the Twin Cities during Gay Pride Month, instead of using the Apostles' Creed, they used the Sparkle Creed, written by a liberal United Church of Christ pastor. Here's what the woman pastor in this Lutheran church led her congregation to say out loud. I believe in the non-binary God, whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic. He did. And who had two dads. And he saw everyone as a sibling child of God. Can't say brother and sister anymore because that's too binary. I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters our image of one white light and refracts it into a rainbow of gorgeous diversity. I believe in the church of everyday saints as numerous as the patches on the AIDS quilt. I believe that love is love is love, which is an endorsement of gay sex. I used to be an ELCA Lutheran, and I led my church out of that denomination because of the unbiblical craziness. If you're still an ELCA Lutheran, or believe it or not, the United Church of Christ is even more liberal, time to run and find a good biblical church. Well, today, let's not go through the Sparkle Creed. Let's go through the real creed, the Apostles' Creed. Here we go. The Apostles' Creed is the earliest of all the Christian creeds. In an abbreviated form, it goes all the way back to the second century. So this is real early. Now, I know some non-denominational people say, well, I don't believe in man-made creeds. I just believe in the Bible. To which I say, wait a minute. The creed comes right out of the Bible. The creed is a summoning. Everything in the Apostles' Creed is in the Bible. And I remember an old Lutheran professor at my seminary saying many years ago, he said, I'm glad the Apostles' Creed is in every worship service. Because if the preacher doesn't have the sense to preach the gospel, people will hear it in the Apostles' Creed. So, let's go through the Apostles' Creed word by word. Let's pray. Father, now as we talk about who you are, we pray your Holy Spirit would speak to us, Lord. If somebody is watching who has a misconception of who God is, Lord, speak to us now through this ancient creed about who you are. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty. First word of the creed is I. That means faith must be personal. I believe this. Let me ask you the question. Are you a cultural Christian? I knew an old lady named Tora. I did her funeral a while ago. She was 100 years old. And Tora was raised in Norway but lived most of her life in America. But I remember years ago, Tora would go visit Norway, and she'd come back sad. Oh, Pastor Tom, when I was a little girl, everybody went to church in Norway. Now, nobody goes to church. They all get baptized, but nobody goes to church. And that's happening in America, too. A lot of people say, well, I'm a Christian, but they never go to church. And then people say, well, it never says in the Bible you have to go to church. Yes, it does. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, do not forsake the assembling of yourself. You know, I got this letter yesterday. Pastor Brock, if someone says they believe in God, but they've never been baptized, they never go to church, they never read their Bible, will they go to heaven? I think the answer is you need to personally have a faith in Christ, not just have it part of your culture or the fact that your mom or dad were believers. You have to believe. I, next word, believe in God the Father. Notice the word. It says, I believe in, not about. I mean, the devil believes all about God. A lot of people believe all about God. That doesn't save you. What saves you is believing in God. Now, let me explain this. Hold on a second. I got to move over here. Sorry. Let me show you here. This is a chair. I believe all about this chair. I believe it exists. I believe it's a chair. But now watch this. Now I'm going to get into the chair and trust my life into this chair. And now I don't just believe about the chair. I believe in the chair. I'm trusting it with my life. When we say that we believe in God the Father Almighty, we're not just saying we believe he exists. The devil believes he exists. We believe in, we get in God the Father. We trust our life into his hands. That's what saves people. I believe in, next word, God, singular. In other words, Christians are monotheists. The word mono means one. Theos means God. A Christian believes in one God. Now, Mormons and Hindus are polytheists. Poly means many. They believe in one, in many gods. Christians believe in one God. I believe in God, the next word, Father. That means God is our loving protector. Last week, I got a letter. Dear Pastor Brock, she's a Lutheran. My Lutheran pastor now is encouraging to worship God as our mother in heaven. There is a large Presbyterian church downtown Minneapolis. The pastor has announced that the pastors will no longer use the word he or him for God, and they're going to shy away from calling God Father. Listen, if you attend a church where they're embarrassed by God the Father, I'd find another church. I believe in God the Father, next word, Almighty. That means God is omnipotent, all-powerful. When I was 12, the first thing I remember learning in confirmation class was the three omnis. God is omnipotent. Omnipotent means he is all-powerful. God is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. God is omnipresent. That means he exists everywhere. I believe in God the Father Almighty. Next words, maker of heaven and earth. That means that you and everything were created for a purpose. Years ago, I was on the airplane, and I'm sitting next to a doctor, and he finds out I'm a pastor, and he said, I became a Christian in medical school. I said, what converted you? And he said, when I started to study the human body and how perfectly designed this thing is, I had to conclude, there's a designer. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Next words, and in Jesus. The word Jesus in Hebrew means Jehovah saves. So if you remember, the angel says, Joseph called the baby Jehovah saves, for he shall save his people from their sins. When you say the words, I believe in Jesus, what you're saying in Hebrew is, I believe Jesus saves me. I believe Jehovah saves. I believe in Jesus, next word, Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last word. Now, last name. Mary and Joseph Christ didn't have a baby and called him Jesus Christ. The word Christ is the title. When you say Jesus Christ, you're saying Jesus is the Christ. And the Christ, the word Christ means anointed one, the one promised in the Old Testament who would come and save the Jews. So I believe in Jesus Christ. Next words, his only son. Next lesson from the Creed, Jesus alone is the Son of God. In a secondary sense, you and I are sons and daughters of God, but there's only one capital S Son of God. I'm glad Oprah isn't on TV much anymore. She claimed to be a Christian, but she used her TV show to push New Age teaching. this horrible book by Eckhart Tolle. And I remember Oprah saying, I was raised a Baptist to believe that Jesus came to earth to die for our sins. Now I believe Christ came to earth to get us in touch with our own inner Christ consciousness. In other words, we're all Christ. No, we're not. There's only one only begotten Son of God. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. Next words, our Lord. Do you know what the word Lord means? It has two meanings. The first word, meaning of Lord, is master. When you say Jesus is my Lord, you're saying He's my boss, He's my owner, my master, and I'm a slave. And then the second meaning of the word Lord is Jesus is God. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen it. We have a 30-second commercial, and in it, I quickly share the gospel that God became a human being. His name was Jesus, died for our sins, rose from the dead. Well, somebody wrote, where on earth does the Bible say that Jesus was God? Well, the answer is John chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 2, John chapter 20. There's a number of places. Next words, that Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That means Jesus had no sin. Let me explain original sin. Original sin is the teaching that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they got infected with sin, and they passed that disease of sin on to all their offspring. So you and I are born with sin. So in order for God to prevent Jesus from inheriting original sin, God the Father directly put the baby Jesus into Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was born of the Virgin. Next words. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. That teaches Jesus was truly human. The Docetists in the first century, dakeo in Greek means to seem like, they were heretics who taught that Jesus seemed like a man, but we know God would never really become a man. And so the early church had to come up with a creed saying, no, he was really born, became human. Next words in the creed, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. That means he truly suffered. I mean, again, the Docetists were teaching, well, it looked like he suffered, but we know God would never really suffer. So in the creed, they said, yes, he really suffered. Then they said these words in the creed, he was crucified, died, and was buried. That means Jesus truly died. Again, the Docetists were saying, well, we know that God would never become human and really die. And the early church said, look, if Jesus didn't really die, we're not saved, because he had to die for our sins. And if he didn't do that, we're not saved. So yes, he truly died. And then the next words in the creed, Jesus descended into hell. Now, what does that mean? We get that question in our letters periodically. Well, it doesn't mean he went to hell to pay for our sins. He already did that on the cross. He said, it is finished. So why did Jesus descend into hell? Well, there's kind of a mysterious passage in 1 Peter chapter 3 that after Jesus died, he went and he preached to the spirits in prison who had rebelled during Noah's flood. It just says he made proclamation to him. Doesn't say he gave him a second chance, but he made proclamation, and that's about all we know. He descended into hell, and he will return again to judge the living and the dead. Those words mean we believe in the second coming, that one day, could be tonight, we'll hear trumpets, we'll look up, Jesus comes down in the clouds, he raises all the dead, everyone will be judged, you go to heaven or hell, and then the earth melts and we live in the new heavens and the new earth. Next part of the creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Now let me explain this. There's only one God, but in God are three eternal persons. God the Father who made us, God the Holy Spirit who lives inside believers, God the Son who died for us. Not three gods, one God in three persons. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Next words, the Holy Catholic Church. Some of your churches use the word Holy Christian Church, but the original, in the second century, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. The word Catholic simply means universal, worldwide. I remember a Lutheran lady years ago, when we started using the more ancient form of the Apostles' Creed, she cried. And she said, "Well, Pastor, if I have to say that I'm a Catholic, I can't go to this church anymore." And I tried to explain, it doesn't say Roman Catholic, it says Catholic. And it means universal, worldwide. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, next words, the communion of saints. In other words, fellowship, getting communing with your Christian brothers and sisters is essential. I believe in the communion of the saints. I got a letter, "Pastor Brock, I'm 78 years old. I'm kind of shy. I left my liberal ELCA Lutheran church because they were preaching so much heresy, but I don't really want to go to the trouble of finding another church and going through hoops. Can I just watch you on TV?" And I said, "No." You can't get communion out of a TV set. And one reason we go to church isn't just to get. We go there to give. So you need to find a church. I believe in the communion of saints. Next words, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. That means the cross is central. I remember years ago, one of the professors, Lutheran professors, saying, "When you preach a sermon, you have to ask yourself the question, could that sermon have been preached had Jesus not died on the cross? And if it could be, that wasn't a Christian sermon. I remember hearing Billy Graham say, one night he gave a crusade, he invited people to come up and accept Christ at the end, and few people came up. And he's wondering, what happened tonight? And an old pastor said, "Billy, tonight you didn't preach the cross." And Billy Graham just made a commitment, from now on, in every sermon somehow, we got to preach the cross. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. Next words, the resurrection of the body. That means our bodies will be raised. Some people think just our spirit or our soul will be raised. Nope, Christians believe in the resurrection of the body. I got an email from somebody that heard my show where I don't personally like the whole cremation thing, but I can't say it's a sin, but I wouldn't do it. And this lady said, "You know, but it's kind of New Age pantheism. You get cremated and you scatter your ashes over the Pacific Ocean or something. And shouldn't we treat the human body with more respect?" And I think she might have a point. Now, here's the deal. God will still put you together if you're cremated. I heard somebody say, why do people who believe that God made their body to begin with have a hard time believing that he has the power to put them back together? We do believe in the resurrection of the body. And then the last words, I believe in the life everlasting. Amen. Last point today, everyone will live forever. When I preach at a funeral, I'll often ask the question, who can tell me what happened April 15th, 1912? And I'm guessing most of the time somebody will say the Titanic sunk. And I'll say, yes, 2,200 people on the Titanic. It sinks. Later that week in the newspaper, Titanic sinks. On the left, bold letters, "The Lost," 1,500 names. On the right-hand column in bold letters, "The Saved," 700 names. And I say to the people at the funeral, as God looks down on us in church today, he only sees two kinds of people. You're either lost and you're going to hell, or you're saved and you're going to heaven. So let's end the sermon now with the big question. How can you make sure everybody has everlasting life? How can you make sure you have that everlasting life in heaven instead of hell? Here's the answer. I, not my parents, I believe in, that means I trust, I get on board with the Father, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, rose from the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And that is how you're saved, is by trusting not you and your good works, you're trusting Jesus and his death on the cross for your salvation. And you know, I'll close with this. We need to get the creed back into the churches. The reason they had the creed in the early church, the Arian heresy was Jesus is not God. The Docetist heresy was he's not really a man. We needed the creed to say the Bible teaches he's fully God and fully man. And with all the heresies and sparkle creeds and nonsense going on even in some Christian churches, I want to encourage you, start saying the creed every week in your church. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question comes from a viewer. My question for your show is, several people I know believe that believing God is the Creator and Jesus Christ is our Savior is all that matters. I believe the Ten Commandments are critical in life. Am I over-exaggerating the Ten Commandments?
Well, the Ten Commandments are critical in life, but they don't save you. So let me explain the three uses of the law meaning the Ten Commandments. Number one, they keep order in society. Don't kill, don't steal. Mm-hmm. That's the first use of the law. The second use of the law is to show us our need of a Savior. So when we sin in thought, word, and deed, we're breaking the Ten Commandments. Some people think you get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. The problem is we break them more than we keep them. So the second use of the law is to point people to Christ and their need. And then the third use of the law, once you are saved, it is a good guide for your life. So, yeah, Ten Commandments are very important, but they don't save you. The only thing that saves us is Christ's death on the cross.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which churches use the Apostles' Creed?
The Apostles' Creed is used by the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Episcopalian Church. The Methodists use it. Now, how often, I'm not sure, but it's in their hymnal. And some of the other churches do as well. The churches that tend not to use it are like the non-denominational evangelical churches, the Baptist churches. They tend not to use it. I'm not saying they're not Christians. They believe in the Trinity, but they don't use the creed that much. I will say, though, Lutherans have always used the creed. Mm-hmm. I'm a Lutheran. But a lot of Lutheran churches, like I asked my friend, do you say the Lutheran Church in your service? Well, we say it at the early service, the traditional service, but we don't say it during the contemporary worship service, mm-hmm. which I think is sad. I mean, I love contemporary Christian music, but put the creed in the worship mm-hmm. service. It's the summary of what Christians have believed for 2,000 years.
Amen.
There you go.
Did the apostles write the Apostles' Creed?
There's no evidence of that. So it's not like the 11 apostles after Judas killed himself got together and say, let's write up a creed. There's no evidence of that. But again, it's very early. Second century AD, there is an abbreviated form of the Apostles' Creed.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the Nicene Creed?
Okay, so the Apostles' Creed, second century. Then in 325 AD, the big heresy going on was called Arianism. Arius was a false teacher who taught Jesus is not God. So all the bishops came together in Nicaea, which is modern Turkey, I think, and they came up with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Almighty. We believe Jesus Christ is very God of very God. He's begotten, not made, Arius, like you're saying, begotten of his Father before all worlds. Jesus is God from God, very God from very God. So I like the Nicene Creed even better than the Apostles' Creed because it's more specific. But all these churches use both creeds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which churches shy away from talking about God as Father?
Well, again, all the churches I just mentioned mm-hmm. Believe in the creed, and they should believe in the Father. But in most of those churches I just mentioned, you've got new liberal pastors who shy away from God the Father because they're mm-hmm. feminists. I mean, I've said this more than once on this show. There's a large Methodist church across the street from my house. Of course, Methodists believe in the Father. But this pastor baptized in the name of the one who makes all things and of the Son and of the Spirit. In other, I think the reason is because he's trying to be inclusive. Mm-hmm. Listen, Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I wrote him a note and found his little P.O. box and said, we don't have the right to change God the Father.
Amen.
But United Church of Christ, ELCA Lutherans, PCUSA Presbyterians, United Methodists, sadly you've got, not all, but some pastors in these denominations that are de-sexing God.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Some churches say they believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, but they deny the Trinity. Can you be a Christian and deny the Trinity?
I wouldn't try it. Jehovah's Witnesses deny that Jesus is God. I think they're a cult. And, you know, most big black Pentecostal churches are fine, mm-hmm. but there is a group called United Pentecostals, which deny the Trinity. And you also have to speak in tongues to be saved. And, you know, there's a church in town here that's where a lot of big black funerals are held. And It's called Shiloh Temple, and they deny the Trinity. I wouldn't go to that church. But again, most black Pentecostals are, you know, what do they call it, Assemblies of God or something else, or Church of God in Christ. They're Trinitarian, they're fine. But if you're going to a Jehovah's Witness church, I'd get out of there. If you're going to a United Pentecostal church, I'd get out of there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do Christians believe in three gods?
No. Muslims think we believe in three gods. We don't. We believe in one God and three persons.
Okay. Yeah. If Jesus was God, did he know everything when he was on this earth?
You know, even though Jesus is God and God knows everything, while he was incarnate for 33 years, I think he left some of that behind. Because it says in, I mean, the first time this was pointed out to me in college, I thought it sounded so awful. You mean the professor said Jesus couldn't, little three-year-old Jesus, couldn't do trigonometry. I thought, well, of course he could. He was God. But the point he made, it says in Luke that Jesus grew in knowledge. He really became human, and he grew in knowledge just like we grow in knowledge. So, yeah, he did grow in knowledge. And remember when the lady grabbed his robe and he got healed, and Jesus says, "Who touched me?" He didn't know. Now, he did know lots of stuff supernaturally, but certain things during the incarnation he chose not to know. He said, "I don't know when I'm coming back, only the Father." Well, I think Jesus now knows when he's coming back, but when he was on earth, he said, "Not even the Son knows when I'm returning, only the Father." Yeah.
Okay. I thought Jesus is the Son of God. What do you mean he is God? Where is that in the Bible?
Again, the Bible teaches both. He is the Son of God, but what does that mean? He's eternally the Son of God. If you've got an eternal Father, there's got to be a Son to be the Father too. So the Bible teaches both. He is the Son of God, but he's also God the Son.
Okay.
All right.
Some teach that Jesus rose from the dead, but he just rose spiritually. Do you believe Jesus physically rose from the dead?
You have to believe he physically. I mean, everybody. Martin Luther King Jr. Everybody rises spiritually from the dead. Jesus physically rose from, and you have to maintain that. He says in the book of Luke, after he rises from the dead, they thought he was a ghost. Disciples come, see, a ghost does not have flesh and bone, as you see that I am. It's crucial to believe that Jesus physically rose from the dead. Now, his new body was different. He could zoom in and out of rooms without opening the door. So it was different. It was transformed. But it was still a body. Still had the nail prints. Put your hand on my side, Thomas. Well, good. Well, everybody, thank you for joining us today. If you want to watch all of our shows for free, just go to pastorstudy.org. If God nudges you to support us. This is costing more than ever because of all the stations we're on now. We don't want to withdraw from any stations. So you can support us there, or you'll see an address in a minute. But just thanks for tuning in.
Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." To know God, read and study his word, the Bible. God bless you.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.